Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar. We're checking in for some Bundesliga review of match week 14. So sit back, relax, and enjoy with us. Before we get cracking, Mark, how are you doing? You must be rushed off your feet. You've done about five shows in the last few days.
Yeah, it seems like I'm never away. Like a show a day keeps the doctor away, as you say. Yeah, but it's all going good. Yeah, just really busy, as you say. Nuremberg Christmas market's on as well, so it seems like the whole of Europe has descended upon Nuremberg at the moment. I don't know if you know, guys, but Nuremberg actually has the oldest and most traditional Christmas markets in Germany as well. So it's really famous, really a big tourist resort at the moment in Nuremberg. But yeah, weather's not too good. But yeah, looking forward to getting into some Bundesliga action today.
Yeah, absolutely. So much to talk about. So what we'll be doing tonight, featured for, we're going to be bringing back our hero of the week. So obviously we've been doing the poll on Twitter. So we're looking forward to seeing the results of that. We'll announce that at the end of the show. So much to reflect on, so looking forward to getting into it. Obviously, before we do crack on, let's have obviously a thumbs up for the show and the continued hordes of shows that we're doing, many watch alongs. Obviously great fun you and Peter had doing the Pokal, and of course the game yesterday. Predictions, fantasy football, it's non-stop, so please give us a thumbs up for the great efforts that Mark particularly has been going to in recent weeks. Obviously, comment along if you've got any questions for tonight's show, if you've got any thoughts about our featured four, or indeed who's going to win the Hero of the Week. Looking forward to that. And of course, press the red button, subscribe, keep pushing us up and up. That'd be fantastic. A big shout out to our partners, as per usual, Bundesliga Boxes and Bully News. Speaking of fantasy football, it's been a disaster of a weekend for me, fantasy football-wise. I went hard on Bayern players. I brought in Musiala and starred him. My Lord, what a terrible mistake that was. Some interesting fantasy football scores. I think I've gone down dramatically in our league. I was hovering around the 160 mark, which is actually, it sounds worse than it actually is, because I've been doing really well overall. Mark, I dread to think how you're doing.
Yeah, actually, I just checked now, and last week was a really, really good week for me. I got 150 points, actually, incredibly. I mean, my team at the minute is a kind of mixture between Leverkusen and Leipzig, basically, and Harry Kane. Obviously, Kane didn't do very well, but I actually had Wirtz, Simmons, Furyk, and Honorat, who all scored well this week. And then in the defence, I had Raum, Grimaldo, Weiser, and even Frimpong got a good score as well. So pretty much the only one that let me down this weekend really was Harry Kane, who only ended up getting 5 points, and then I got 8 on him because of the captaincy. But it was a really good week for me. But overall, actually, where are you, Rory, in the fantasy football? Overall, I'm 1,000. I'm 9,703rd at the minute.
Is that what we're talking in the world? Are we talking?
Yeah, in the world.
Okay, I will check. So in the world, I've dropped down a lot. I was in the top 3,000, but I'm now down to 4,145.
You're still doing well, though, really.
Yeah. So yeah, overall, not too bad. It was a really bad.
How many points are you on?
Ooh, good question. I'm on points. 1,971.
Yes, so you're about 120 ahead of me. It's not that much considering the places. It's just like 1 week score. But I had a couple of bad weeks. I think my 12 and 13 were really bad. But this week was actually really good in the end. So quite happy with that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, looking forward to it. Well, it will be the last fantasy show that we do before Christmas, actually, with Runa this week. We're looking forward to that, because obviously we'll do it, we'll double up, because we've got the English midweek games that will finish us off a week midweek, if you catch my drift, if I'm putting that right anyway. We'll crack on with the show and start off with our featured four. Again, very quickly before I do, I was just kind of going through some of our statistics from the podcast particularly, and looking at the most recent episode and how many people listened to it, and the spread in terms of countries. And it's just so humbling, so nice to see that how far across, you know, people are listening and watching us. So, you know, fantastic support wherever you're listening from. We absolutely love it that we can, you know, chat Bundesliga with you all. So, yeah, let's keep it up and let's start chatting Bundesliga. So our fourth game, starting with tonight, is Union Berlin 3, Borussia Mönchengladbach 1. Mark, after Union got themselves a draw the week previous, they finally got themselves that big W to get them back in working order. And obviously started off with that Kevin Volland penalty preceding goals from Hollerbach and Kaufmann. Both second and third goals were particularly well taken and great strikes, actually. A player single goal for Gladbach couldn't spark much of a comeback for Gladbach, who have been full of plenty of goals. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about Gladbach, Mark, in previous shows. So, and we haven't talked about Union because they've been struggling so much. And they haven't featured so much in a positive sense on our show for a long time. But I think it's now time that we can give Union their, you know, their due credit and really give them a bit of a thumbs up, because that performance was exactly what they needed. They're now out of the relegation zone. What were your thoughts on this game? Did you feel like it was coming? I mean, we've seen some different goal scorers there, particularly for Union. Is it, you know, a change of approach personnel-wise? What do you think that you've seen that's brought about this mini run of two games unbeaten in the Bundesliga for Union now?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first win in all competitions since the end of August, incredibly. So it was about, I think it was about 3.5 months in all competitions in between wins. So it was incredible. The last time they won a game was a 4-1 win in Darmstadt when it was still 35 degrees here in the Bundesrepublik. So I think that just about says everything. I'm pretty sure it would have been well below zero on Saturday for that game in the east part of Berlin. But yeah, I mean, they were just amazing in the game, to be honest. Like, special performances from that man, Hollerbach. I mean, he'd not done very much at all before, but I thought he was the man of the match. He was superb. Like, some of the long raking balls he was playing were absolutely brilliant in the game. And, you know, got a good strike for the second goal as well. Kevin Volland as well has finally turned up in the Bundesliga again, 3.5 months late by the look of it. But he was great in the game. He's not impressed at all since joining from Monaco in the summer. But this was his first good performance. And he's the kind of guy that needs to stand up now, because he is a good player. You know, he's a German international. He always did well wherever he'd been before he came to Union, and it's great to see that he seems to have got his form back. I mean, another one that played well, I thought, was Roussillon as well. We've not seen that much of him this season, but he's always been a player that I like. Roussillon, the left back, obviously signed from Wolfsburg last season. We've not seen that much of those kind of old school guys this season, as we have. So maybe it is a case of back to basics for Union. I like the fact that they went with the midfield pivot of Harbera and Kadira as well. Yeah. There were no signs of, you know, the likes of Aronson, who's just not done anything at all, really. Some of the other new, Toussaint, who's not impressed at all in that midfield either. Mm. I think they did go back to basics. You know, that was the kind of core of the team from last year. Diogo later started, Knocker started, Juranovic. So aside from Gosens and Folland, really, it was like the team from last season. So yeah, it was definitely a case of back to basics. And, you know, Kevin Behrens is still not really at it at the minute after that great start to the season of 4 goals in his first 2 games. Has he even scored since then? I'm not sure, to be honest. But yeah, his season has well and truly gone to the dog since he cycled home after the Mainz game. But yeah, I think overall it was old school Union. They played a very wide game. You know, the fight was back. The passion from the fans, which never really went away, did it, which was fantastic to see. But I mean, Bielica, you know, he's got off to a good start. I thought they played quite well against Augsburg in his first game, and then I thought they were very good in this game, and they just outclassed Gladbach. This, for me, was an Union Berlin performance of the last three seasons, even four seasons, really. And things look bright for them. As you say, they got lucky with other results. They're actually out of the bottom three, incredibly, from bottom, climbing three places. And that table looks a lot prettier for them. Now, they go away to Bochum next weekend, and, you know, they'll quite fancy back-to-back wins. If they can repeat this kind of performance, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win again next week.
Yeah, and then follow that up, final game before Christmas at home to Köln, which again is a, you know, well, the way that Morris has already put in the comments, actually not no need to mention a certain team's performance on Sunday. I watched that from start to finish, and my God, I think, yeah, most people should be given an award for getting through that one. But anyway, nonetheless, it's probably not going to appear on the featured four tonight, unfortunately, Moritz. But yeah, interesting stuff from an Union perspective. But yeah, I mean, just scoring goals again as well, Mark. Previous, obviously, to last week, they'd gone four games without even scoring a solitary goal. You know, we've mentioned Vollen, we mentioned Behrens, obviously Geraldo Becker not being, you know, a lot of pressure on him, you know, and players that have come and gone, obviously, in an Union shirt. So there's a lot of pressure on these players, particularly Vollen, to, well, to have hit the ground running, which obviously they haven't done. And, you know, if they can be backed up by these wider players, Hollerback, as you mentioned, had a really good game. So, yeah, if they can... they can push that forwards, there's, you know, there's absolutely no reason why they can't get 6 points from the next 6 points, and then they're sitting a lot prettier before the Christmas break. And, you know, the new manager, as you mentioned, Mark, has done a good job of getting them back to basics, getting that wide play again. As you mentioned, that double pivot, having Rani Kadira back is such a big thing for them as well. He's been sorely missed from an injury perspective. Having him back is great. And yeah, some of those newer signings that haven't bedded in well have seemingly been put back to the bench. And I know you've talked about some of them even being potentially released in January. We'll have to see what happens with that and what they may be doing in the January market as well. But yeah, so happy to see them back to winning ways. It's been really hard for, well, obviously, us as supporters of Union in terms of their great journey, that they've just dropped off a cliff so much. And, you know, it's obviously cost Urs Fischer his job. But yeah, great stuff for Union. Just briefly with Gladbach, Mark, it's just one of those where they just don't turn up. Rocking up to a, you know, into Berlin, knowing how much Union wanted to win it. Again, it's probably just a pure fact of they didn't want it enough. And despite, you know, their improvements, those are the sort of games that they easily get turned over in for me.
Yeah, they should have been better in the game. And I think they probably underestimated Union a little bit because, you know, I think they've been so poor at home, which seems so weird to say that about Union. You know, they'd only had one win in the six home games before this. Actually, six home games before this in the... And if you include the Champions League, they didn't win any of the home games in that either. So I think it was just a case of them being underestimated. I think Player will be happy to be on the score sheet again. He's really putting some good form together. But in general, they got well outplayed. And I think the XG actually came up trumps in this game. It said it should have been 3-1 to Union, which it was. So they were well worthy of the win and created a lot of chances. And I think they even had another couple disallowed as well in the game. So... yeah, I think Gladbach, it's frustrating for them because despite the good run, they're still not in that good of a position in the league. They're currently 10th place, but they're only a few points above the likes of Heidenheim and Werder Bremen. So there's still work to do for them. Obviously, they go away to Saarbrücken as well in the Cup, which is, wow, that's a great tie. Because I'm not sure that anyone will fancy them to go there and win, to be honest, because the way they've been... you know, Saarbrücken just seem to be having one of those years in the Cup. It reminds me of my team in England, Wigan Athletic, when they've turned teams over as well from the third division, the second division. And we'll just have to see, won't we? But that is a banana skin for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, Gladbach's still very much struggling, particularly on the road. They haven't won since September away from home. Right, our third place match was the Battle of the New Boys. And this produced the goods very much so, Mark. A massive 3-2 home win for Heidenheim, taking the spoils and obviously producing a really important result for them based on what happened as well at the weekend. It was always going to be massive for whoever won this one. And this was a really topsy-turvy match, though. And I think, obviously, we got most of the goals in the second half, but the first half was really end-to-end, I think. And, you know, there were chances, you know, all over the place for, you know, for both sides, both goalkeepers in, you know, having to be in good form to keep away as many goals as they did, Schuen and Müller. But eventually, the home side took a lead. Again, the supplier, as per usual for Heidenheim, is Bester. So obviously a deep free kick, whipped it in. And it's a really really nicely flicked on by Schöpner, you know, the midfielder. So it was a great way for them to end the first half and take control of the match. But then the game was, turned on its head in that sense, because into the second half, just a bit of a hopeful long ball forward was controlled by former Heidenheim man Skarke, who's obviously been one of the main points of attack for Darmstadt this season. Brought it down out of the air perfectly, held off his man and shot past the goalkeeper for 1-1. And then shortly after, his cross is put into his own net by Maloney, which was not the greatest bit of defending you'll ever see. I guess you can say he was slightly unsighted by the players jumping in front of him. So all of a sudden, Darmstadt are onto a winner and a 2-1 up away from home, and on about 60-odd minutes, so they're 30 minutes to see out. But this Heidenheim team at home, Mark, you know, they're so dangerous. I mean, I've seen them live a few times, as in watched them live, and they're so dangerous from set pieces. And that man, the captain, Meinke, who has come in for a bit of stick on this show, gets himself a brace in as many minutes to start the comeback and finish the comeback, obviously giving his side a 2-2 and then a 3-2 lead, both from corners. One was a front post flick, I think, and then another was more of a powerful header. What did you make of this game? It was just one of those ones where, it's kind of we'll try and outscore you sort of a game. Both defences were looking quite vulnerable, but Heidenheim making the difference in regards to those, you know, those key set pieces, which, you know, can sometimes make or break a season if they're, you know, particularly powerful weapon for you.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant game. Not necessarily from a technical viewpoint, because a lot of the goals probably should have been avoided, but it was great fun to watch, wasn't it, on a freezing cold afternoon in Heidenheim in South Germany. And yeah, I mean, both teams knew they needed to win this game. It's as simple as that. I think that's one of the reasons why it ended up being so open, because I think both managers realised we need 3 points from this game, even though Darmstadt were away from home. They've not won in a good while now, I think since September, and it's starting to look a little bit bleak for them. Despite that good comeback at the early stages of the second half, you know, things were looking good for them at that point. But they dropped away quite poorly in the end. I thought Heidenheim battered them really in that last probably 25, 30 minutes and deserved the win in the end. I think I gave him a bit of stick just last week, actually, on the show with Emma. And, he did really well in this game. I mean, the two headers were classic set like Heidenheim, really. But normally it's Kleindienst on the end of them or Peering. But obviously, in this case, it was Meinke on the end of both of them, which was great to see from their perspective. As you say, from corners, they are just beasts. But the weird thing is they score loads from corners, but they concede loads as well. So it's like you'd normally imagine if you're a good team off corners, you'd be able to defend them as well. But they can't, basically. It's just basically a corner's like a penalty in matches involving Heidenheim at the moment. It's just every game there's at least two goals involving corners, either for them or against them. But yeah, one thing I would say I'm a little bit worried about is the former Kleindienst at the minute. I mean, he's a player that I've credited a lot, but he missed a few chances in that first half as well. And he missed a few against Bochum as well. And they need him to get back on the score sheet because he is a good striker. And I actually don't think Heidenheim are playing as well as they were in the early part of the season. I think They were probably a little bit lucky to win this one in truth, you know, but it was still a big win for them. I think they need to, you know, get better despite having a really good game in this match. This was his best match for probably a month or so, I would say. Kleindienst has started missing chances, and as has Pieringer as well. Like, he missed a few at the end of the game as well. So they do need to start taking more chances from open play. That's for sure. I think defensively, yeah, they're not the best team in the world. You know, I thought Traore was pretty poor in the game, in truth, the right back. He struggled in the match. I think Mainka is all heart and grit, but he does make errors, and he doesn't seem to have much pace at all at the back. But obviously, he is a threat at the other end, which is important. He won them the game. So, yeah, as for Darmstadt, I think this is the first time since week four that they've been propping up the table. When they got those back-to-back wins. I remember that, I think it was September, they had the really good month. They got 7 points from three games. And aside from that, they've only taken two the whole season. So, yeah, I mean, I think we all had them down to get relegated. And I think, yeah, the fact that they're propping up the league now is concerning. They've got Wolfsburg and Heidenheim before the break. Wolfsburg, potentially, they could get something out of that, but you wouldn't fancy them to get anything off Hoffenheim. Sorry, not Heidenheim, Hoffenheim. I mean, but it is looking a bit bleak for them. They've just got to keep fighting. You know, Skarke has a goal or two in him. I quite like him. Then they've got a few other good players too, like Wilhelmsen puts himself about, but he doesn't really get the goals. Holland is quite a good player. Kempe, I remember he was a star when they had that really good run, Kempe, in September. Pfeiffer, I mean, I think he is going for the record of the most Bundesliga games without a goal, really, because he must be on like close to 40 Bundesliga games without a goal, and he's a striker. So it's just, I mean, Rory, you know a lot about him from his Stuttgart days when he just couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo, and you'd have thought he would have got the odd goal for Darmstadt, considering he's probably the most high-profile forward, but he's just not done it again, has he? So, yeah. They don't have the goals. Defensively, they give mistakes away. So I think, you know, they are going to get relegated, unfortunately, for them.
Yeah, tough times at the moment for Darmstadt. I mean, from Pfeiffer's point of view, yeah, he doesn't look like he's going to score a goal. When he came into the team at the start, he was that kind of target man that they could use. And I think he got a few assists early on. But he has struggled since then. Like you mentioned, Skarke up front, they're missing Melem as well. So, you know, he was one of their better attacking threats. Honsack as well. Early doors, I thought he was going to be like one of their better players. Obviously, he came off the bench, but wasn't able to do anything. So, interesting stuff. The big thing for both teams is going to be their home form. Heidenheim have won 13 of their 14 points at home. So again, they like obviously goes to show that how important that, you know, that kind of siege mentality is. When you're at home, you have to take your points. That's what Heidenheim have done so far. They're a hard team to beat there. Much like Darmstadt need to repeat that as well. Good stuff. And we shall move on as we are time bound tonight for our second game of the evening, and it's going to cover BVB versus RB. Big matchup on Saturday night. Saw them face off. At the moment, the battle for fourth place, it seems. But obviously, a really entertaining game. And I might as well get my earmuffs on ready for this, Mark, because I presume you're going to go hard in on Mats Hummels straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it was just one of them again. I mean, do you know what I mean? Like, it's quite funny. When I was watching it, I actually started laughing, to be honest, because I thought it was just so, for me, if there was one moment that summed up Mats Hummels since he went back to Dortmund, that was it. Basically, like clumsily running back, and he knows he's not going to get there, so he just hacks him down before he gets in the penalty area. And, you know, the referee initially gives the penalty and the yellow card for that, because in Germany they still have the single punishment. They don't have the red card and penalty. But then obviously it goes to VAR and it's correctly ruled out as the opposite way. So it's a free kick and a red card. So
yeah.
What actually went down as being better, I'm not sure there for Dortmund, because, I mean, you know, you probably go 1-0 down, but you've still got 11 men on the pitch. But then obviously they had to play basically 75 minutes with 10 men. So that was always going to be hard against a Leipzig team who were very, very good going forward and create a lot of chances. And obviously they did end up taking them, didn't they? For the game itself, I mean, I thought it was a real good watch, to be honest. It didn't disappoint, this one at all. To be honest, the first half an hour was quite boring, actually. I think, obviously, Leipzig had a few chances. But then once the first goal went in, you know, the kind of pitiful own goal, really. It was quite a poor own goal, really, from Ben Zabaini. I mean, if he's an attacking header, it's a great goal, isn't it? But, like, he just kind of... He's had a poor start to his season, actually, really, at Dortmund. I don't think he's been good, Ben Zabaini, at all, really. I mean, obviously, he's probably their best fullback as well, which is a bit worrying, really, at the minute, because we've talked a lot about their problems at fullback. But, you know, that was awful, really, to give a goal away like that when you're already down to 10 men, too. But fair play. I mean, for me, a man who should be playing more, actually, Süle came on, and I thought he was brilliant in the game as well. He got the equaliser, good finish as well at the far post.
Yeah.
As it happened, he almost went on to equalise in the very last kick of the game too. I thought he was super. I really like Süle. Like, at times I watch Dortmund and I'm just thinking, what's going on with Edin Terzic's lineups, to be honest? I mean, for me, I would have Süle in there every game, really. I would have him in there. I would also have Marlon in there every game. And I probably have Adeyemi in as well, to be honest. I think, if you look at the team he's going with at the minute, he's going with that front three of Füllkrug, Bino Gittens and Royce. And I'm not really seeing that much from Bino Gittens and Royce, to be honest, to justify starting every game. I would rather go... For me, if I was a defence, I'd be more worried if I saw Marlon and Adeyemi on those wings, definitely. Yeah, and I just don't understand why Marlon in particular doesn't start at all. I would say it's just a poor formation in my eyes. Meunier starting this game as well. I don't know what's going on with his lineups. Rory, what do you think about that?
Some of it's obviously based on what's going on internally with the club. So, for example, Daniel Marlon, there's lots of chat about him. Quite ridiculously, he's linked with Man United in a swap deal with Jadon Sancho. That's obviously not going to happen, but there's quite a lot of whisperings that Marlon is on his way out. So he's not playing, really. Adeyemi's form has dropped. He started the season pretty well. Thoughts go back to some decent Champions League performances, particularly that he gave, and especially towards the end of last season as well. Him and Marlon were, you know, fantastic. That's not been the case this season. And Bino Gittens has been one of their better attacking players for me. So I have no issue with Bino Gittens starting. And he was obviously the player that was sacrificed for Süle to come on. So there's not much you can do about that. Royce is a club legend and always gives everything for the shirt. Of course, his best days are behind him. So that's just a case of using Marco Royce accordingly. Terzic obviously thinks, big game, I need my big game players. So Marco Royce, Mats Hummels, players with experience start. Naturally, it kind of it backfired in the sense of Hummels. RB Leipzig had license to control the game. Interestingly enough about this game, I thought RB Leipzig handled it pretty badly. Because if you look statistically at this game afterwards, which I have had a little browse, Leipzig had 44% of possession despite having a man advantage. They made fewer passes and ran over 10k more than Dortmund. That's the sort of statistics you expect to see when you're a man down, not a man up. So I honestly thought that as soon as Leipzig got that early enough lead, thanks to the own goal, they handled it poorly. And then the second half, they went 2-1 up, obviously, as Baumgartner breaks with Xavi to make it 2-1. And then Paulsen, you think, makes it safe, which I have to say, Paulsen's dummy on Schlotterbeck was absolutely sensational. I did not expect him to do that. He absolutely sold him into next week to make it 3-1. Leipzig are getting through games. They're not quite performing to the same levels that they were early on this season. Interestingly enough, and Yanis Blaswich, which actually had to perform some really good saves towards the end of the game to stop it being 3-3. As you mentioned, Süle could have equalised as well. So Dortmund would have been buzzing with a 3-3 draw. Leipzig would have been kicking themselves. As you say, after the sending off, there was a long period of Leipzig dominance, but they didn't do too much with it. They were wasteful in the final third. You know, Raum got in behind the back loads. Henrichs had great chances to score as well. So, yeah, for me, it was a really interesting game. Kind of the mismanagement and game management of both teams made it really exciting, actually, in that sense. Dortmund played well in parts as well, and credit to them. But yeah, I think there's just a bit of at both clubs right now, they're just a little bit unsure on best teams. We've already mentioned about, you know, why Sesko not playing as much, but, you know, Paulsen comes off the bench and does a really good performance alongside Sesko, which I think Paulsen should be used more off the bench. Sesko should be starting. But that's by the by, because he, you know, he proved his worth in that sense. But yeah, really interesting match. And obviously for both teams, well, particularly for Dortmund, they've seen they kind of get away with it this weekend. Obviously, they lose. You know, Leverkusen and Stuttgart don't go too much further away because they only got a point each extra. And of course, Bayern lost. So they haven't been punished for it too much. But there is that gap now, you know, between fourth place and fifth. What are we saying? Yeah, the 4-point gap, you know, it's not a bridge that is completely unpassable, and you know, it can be completely cut in half in one match week. So Dortmund might even be in the top four come the Christmas break. But it's really interesting to see how these teams are kind of struggling their way through at the moment. And you know, again, we've talked about how they've struggled, and they're not, they're only 2 points ahead of Hoffenheim, who have been very up and down themselves. So you know, if we're talking about top four, Hoffenheim in the mix. It's a weird thing to think about in that sense. But anyway, yeah, great game. Really good one to enjoy. So then, just the matter of this quiet little affair in Frankfurt, Mark, which was just, yeah, just 5-1 to Frankfurt against the German champions. Where to start with this one? I mean, I think we probably start with crediting Frankfurt before we go completely in on Bayern, because I'm careful of doing that because I'm well aware that United are playing Bayern. I will probably get absolutely trounced midweek. But let's start with Frankfurt. You know, they were on the front foot. They played some really good counter-attacking football. They were clinical. They had a real sharp edge. And, you know, I thought the midfield kind of axis again ahead of kickoff looked a little bit vulnerable, because when you kind of match up the two teams, I thought, you know, Larsson's had a pretty quiet start to his, you know, Frankfurt career, and as a young lad, doesn't look, you know, hugely physical just yet alongside Mario Götze, or another slight player despite his Bundesliga experience, versus the double pivot of Goretzka and Kimmich. I thought, this doesn't line up too well, but eating my words in that sense, Mark, because Frankfurt to a man were absolutely spot on and made the most of numerous Bayern errors.
Yeah, I think for me, this match in many ways proves that tactics isn't everything in football, to be honest. Because like, if you looked at the lineups and tactically, you would have said it would have been 5-1 to Bayern, basically. Because as you say, that midfield, it looked impossible that they'd be able to kind of keep up with, obviously, Bayern's answer of Goretzka and Kimmich. I mean, it just looked impossible, basically, you know, because as you say, Larsson, he's been playing a little bit further forward and Shaqiri's been kind of holding the ground, but you were like, Goethe can't do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, Goethe can't do a Shaqiri role. So, yeah, it is a miracle, really, that they managed to pull something out of this game and not only win it, but win it so heavily as well. So it proves that sometimes individual performance can outdo tactics as well, to be honest. Because as you say, the amount of running that this Frankfurt team did, just the effort they put into it. I mean, Buter, I thought, was superb as well. Koch is starting to come together as well now, actually, too. I think he's been a kind of unsung hero in the Bundesliga this year as well. I think Buter and Tuta, yeah, they are probably the shining lights of Frankfurt these days, to be honest. But in general, it was a superb performance, as you said. I mean, Mbimbe, who we've not talked about that much, he was actually one of their kind of marquee signings, really, in summer. They managed to get him on a permanent from PSG.
Yeah.
And he'd not really done that much. I wasn't overly impressed with him on loan last season either, to be honest. But this was probably his best performance in a Frankfurt shirt. We can see more from him, maybe. Knauf came back into action. Marmoush, who I think has been about a month without a goal before this game, he ended up coming good as well and getting the finish in. And to a man, there wasn't one man on that Frankfurt pitch who played badly in the game, really. Yeah, it was a superb performance. Chaibi came back into form too with some great runs and pressurising of that midfield. But yeah, we've got to start on Bayern, I suppose, haven't we? I mean, for me, Kim Upamecano, I mean, what can you say about them? Like, Kim has kind of divided opinion a little bit. He looks good. He's such a big guy, but he's not that strong. That's my fear about him. Like, I think he was on the, was it the first, the second goal, and he just got completely done by Chaibi, didn't he? I mean, a man that's half his size really ended up pushing him off the ball, and it was just, it was too easy, really. And Upamecano had one of those days, didn't he? Like, we've talked about this before with Upamecano, that when he's bad, he can be absolutely awful, and this was one of those days. Like, I remember, I think, was it about, was it last year against, I think it was, memory serves me right, it was against Gladbach, and I think he scored an own goal and got a red card or something. But like, he does have those, not very often, because he is a very good central defender in most cases, but when he's bad, he can be absolutely woeful. And this was one of those days. Like, he just couldn't make a tackle, he looked lightweight, his passing was poor. Oh yeah, I remembered another day he played really bad was that Champions League game against Man City as well. That was one of those days as well. He is one of those players that if you put enough pressure on him, he will make mistakes playing out from the back, Upamecano. He's not the best passer out of the back for me. Yeah, I think probably a bigger worry for Bayern Munich rather than just one bad day from Kim and Upamecano. It's more like the Goretzka-Kimmich axis. Just, I don't know if it's as good as what it once was. You know, I'm just not sure. Kimmich, I'm genuinely worried about at the minute. Despite his amazing goal, by the way, it was a great goal. His
goal
finish, but his overall performances this season, for me, this has been his worst season I can ever remember from Kimmich. I really would say that much. He looks stressed on the pitch. He doesn't look like he's enjoying himself at all. He looks like he wants to play further forward, but Tuchel wants him to stay back. Because Goretzka is actually the better player going forward out of those two. He wants him to be the pivot, but he doesn't seem like he wants to play that position. For me, they look better when Laimer is in there, actually, ahead of... I never thought I'd be saying this, but they are better when they've got Laimer in along with Goretzka this season. Most of their best performances have been that midfield. I'm a little bit worried about Kimmich at the minute. Obviously, with the Euros coming up, Germany need him to do well. And I just think... He's just not been that good. I don't know if you agree, Rory, but I just don't think he's been that good this season. I really do believe that Bayern Munich have been better and they've had the pivot of Laimer and Goretzka.
Yeah, he's definitely not had his best season, I don't think. Maybe a short-term fix is putting him back to right back and putting Laimer into the middle rather than making Laimer a right back when Kimmich already is a right back. I mean, the fullbacks for Bayern, I know you've already mentioned Kim and Upamecano, who were both poor, but the fullbacks, well, both of them were pulled at half time, weren't they? Obviously, to bring on Laimer and Guerrero, Davis obviously slips for the first goal as well. You can't do much about a slip, but his form, obviously, Rune was alluding to it actually on the fantasy show on Friday, how he's, you know, from fantasy aspect, he's not really done much, and his, you know, his season overall's not been great. I'm sure his mind's elsewhere, Davis. I'm sure he's gunning for that Real Madrid move, to be honest, but time will tell. But did Bayern look like a team that haven't played for a few weeks, Mark? Was it just as simple as that? I mean, I'm sure we'll see a reaction midweek against Man United.
No, I don't think it was just a case they haven't played. They were just really poor and they lost to a better team. But I agree that, I think I mentioned it with Peter yesterday, that it is just a blip for me. It's absolutely not a crisis for Bayern Munich. I still think they're a very good team this season and there's been a lot of great performances. As you say, Davis and Kimmich, the form of them two is worrying because neither of them come even close to the heights. But yeah, I think it's just a blip in my opinion. I don't think it was a case they haven't played because... For me, that is an advantage, ultimately, not to play. You rest your legs, you know what I mean? It's a lot better than being overworked, Like we see some teams in Europe, I think especially Newcastle United in England, they look absolutely running on fumes at the minute because they play pretty much every midweek the whole season and they just can't do it anymore. And for me, Bayern, they've had a good schedule in recent weeks. They've been able to sit at home when everyone else has been freezing the, well, whatever's off, on the pitch. So for me, that's not an excuse. But I agree, Rory, I'd be very worried if I was United. I mean, obviously, United need a miracle anyway, basically, because obviously they need results to go their favour as well. But yeah. I would be expecting a Bayern win at Old Trafford tomorrow night, put it that way.
Yeah, look forward to that, he says. Overall, like you say, they lost to a better team, Frankfurt. Again, Frankfurt outran Bayern by 10k as a team overall, just showing how much they wanted it. Bayern obviously just not at the races, errors everywhere. Oddly enough, Bayern had a higher XG than Frankfurt, but just goes to show that Frankfurt took their chances. And then they, some really good finishes. Knauf as well, and obviously Larsson, was put his one away brilliantly. It's the first time that Bayern have conceded 5 goals in a Bundesliga match since losing 5-1 to Frankfurt on the 2nd of November in 2019. So, well, there you go. Fans of the Eagles have been enjoying themselves against Bayern. It was a tremendous performance, it has to be said. So, well done to Frankfurt. Right, just as we're closing off and just have a few minutes, just the best of the rest in terms of results. See a good Friday night and rare home win for Hoffenheim, seeing off Borkum, who obviously look in a lot of trouble at the moment, despite what has to be said, a bloody fantastic consolation goal from Paciencia on the volley, but it wasn't enough. Hoffenheim cruising and closing in on Dortmund in fifth place. Really good away win for Freiburg against Wolfsburg, as the pressure surely is really coming on to Niko Kovac. We'll see that play out quite soon. Really good home win for Werder against improving Augsburg. So many people would have had the away side to have done well there, but another goal for Dusk as Werder got home there. So important result for them. And obviously a great game on Sunday. But obviously, we covered it in the watch along. Stuttgart's 1-1 draw with Leverkusen, very end to end. Great first half from Stuttgart and a good response from Leverkusen in the second half. And then Köln and Mainz played out a rather forgettable 0-0 draw in the end on the Sunday evening. It's weird. The early Sunday game is always the best. The Sunday evening game is always pretty rubbish. So generally speaking, that's been the way of things so far this season. That's pretty much everything. Gavin, good evening, Gavin. Hope you're doing well. What have you got for us tonight? Any idea why Hoffman was benched for Leverkusen? Is he likely to regain his starting place for the 2 Bundesliga matches left this month? Because, he was benched for, obviously, we saw Adli start. What were your thoughts on that? Obviously, you would have covered it with Peter in fairly good detail. Just a tactical thing from Xabi.
There was quite a bit of shock, actually, about that, because a lot of people think Hoffman's been one of the best players in the Bundesliga this season. But I think it could have been a mixture of, like, the form of Hoffman in the last game against Dortmund. He didn't have his best game against Dortmund. He was hooked in that game, and I think Adli had a really good game against Paderborn in the cup, so maybe he just thought, Adli's a really good player as well, let's be honest. So I think it might just have been a slight tweak, but I do think we'll see him back. I don't think Adli did enough in the game to warrant starting again, and I think Hoffman will be back for their game against Frankfurt next week.
Completely agree. And then to finish off this evening, we are bringing back a lovely little feature that we used to do back in the day, in seasons gone by, having our Hero of the Week, which our lovely partners at Bundesliga Boxes are going to be partnering up with us. So the Bundesliga Boxes Hero of the Week we're going to do at the end of most Monday shows. And what's different about it this time around is basically that you choose it. So we did a poll on X/Twitter earlier on today with 4 candidates. So Mark doesn't know the result of this. But anyway, so the candidates we had were Frankfurt slash Dina Mbembe, who obviously got a great brace against Bayern in their 5-1 win. We had Mark's favourite, Patrick Mainka, for his brace of goals in 2 minutes for their obviously Heidenheim's win against Darmstadt. We have Union Berlin as a team for their first win in 11 against Gladbach. And then the fourth choice was Paciencia's consolation wonder strike against Hoffenheim, that clean volley, which the choices. Just before we announce it, Mark, who would your choice be?
Ooh, who would I go for? I'd probably go for Mainka, just because it's Mainka, to be honest. Yeah, because he has been a bit of a cult hero slash comedy villain on the show, really, this year, hasn't he? So I'm going to go for him. I do love a kind of cult hero to win this kind of award.
Yeah, fair play. No, good choice. Well, it was more or less a landslide for Union Berlin, who got 60% of our vote. So, yeah, congrats to them. Lots of love for the Berlin club getting their season back on track, which we were talking about earlier. You know, it's great to see them going back to what, you know, has made them so very tricky to play against in recent seasons. So, yeah, 60% of the vote. Well done, Union. We look forward to having more of your votes on this particular section. Let us know what you think about it. Do you agree? If there are any other comments, I think there's a comment on Twitter earlier on saying that Yanis Blaswich should be a candidate, but that was from the RB Leipzig guys podcast. So I'm fairly sure that was a relatively biased opinion, but he did play well. But yeah, excellent performances from individuals and players this week. And that's a lovely place to finish off, I reckon, this week. And I've got to run down the road in a minute to football, hence why I'm dressed for the occasion, as you can see on YouTube, which you can't see on podcasts. But anyway, I'll hand over to yourself, Mark, for the closing of the show.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed what you saw today, then check out At Over the Bar FB and At Over the Bar Extra. Also follow Rory at Village Footy 20. And then, yeah, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe. But yeah, we've got a lot more coming for you as well before the end of the Hinrunda, which will end after 16 rounds this year. But yeah, we've got this weekend, which will be the last weekend. And then we've got the kind of odd situation of like a midweek set of fixtures to end the Hinrunda, haven't we? So maybe we'll do a watch along for that as well. We'll have to think about that, Rory, as well. But yeah, thanks for checking in with the show again this week. And we'll see you on Thursday for the predictions for this weekend. So see you then, guys.